Okay, so we're in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 and reading through to verse 12. And if you have got a Pew Bible, it's page 1003 in the Bible. And if you raise your hand, then Carol will supply you with a Bible if you want one. One at the front here. And Aubrey. So Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Page 1003. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." In thinking about what to focus on in this passage, there were several directions that we could have gone in. We could have focused on the difference that it makes when Jesus is in the house, looking at how the crowds are drawn when Jesus is present, how miracles happen when Jesus is present, how opposition comes when Jesus is there, and how God is glorified when Jesus is in the house. Or we could have focused on the conflict that comes into focus when Jesus tells the paralyzed man that his sins are forgiven. However, what really struck me about this passage was the statement that's made in the passage before Jesus does anything. And that phrase is, "When Jesus saw their faith." When Jesus saw their faith. And what it implies is that the faith that we show and exercise on behalf of others can change other people's lives. So I want to focus on the four men who brought the paralyzed man to Jesus. What can we learn from them this morning that can help us on our Christian journey? I'm going to talk about four C's this morning that characterize the behavior of these four men and demonstrated their faith in action. So I'm going to talk about their concern. I'm going to talk about their cooperation. I'm going to talk about their commitment. And I'm going to talk about their confidence in Jesus. So we're going to begin with their concern. We don't really know very much about the men or the man that they brought to Jesus. We don't even know if the paralyzed man was a friend of these men or just someone that they came across on the street. What we do know, though, is that they had concern for him. As a paralyzed man, he was helpless, completely dependent on the sympathy and help of those around him if he was going to survive from day to day. At the time that we're talking about, there was no welfare state, there were no disability benefits or anything like that. So this man was completely dependent on charity and on the actions of those around him. So from their actions, it's clear that the four men recognized that this man couldn't go to see Jesus on his own. We can tell that the whole area around Capernaum was in uproar because of Jesus' ministry and teaching. So much so that the people were cramming into the house that Jesus was in, and there was a crowd outside the door. The four men showed their concern by going out of their way to help the paralyzed man, when they could have been caught up in the excitement and trying to ensure that they got their own ringside seat in the house where Jesus was. But instead of getting involved in the bustle of the crowd and forcing their way through the crowd to Jesus' side, they thought and showed concern for the man. Also contrast their attitude with the prevailing view of their day. People with sickness and disability, like the paralyzed man, were looked down on by others in their community. They were not allowed to take part in temple worship. There was an assumption that anyone who was suffering like this must be under God's judgment and deserve what they were going through. The four men don't share this prejudice, but they're concerned enough about the man to believe that life could be different for him if only they could get him to Jesus. One of the things that strikes me about this story is the parallel with the parable of the Good Samaritan. The contrast between the religious figures who cross by on the other side, not wanting to be made unclean by association with the bleeding victim, totally focused on their religious duties at the temple to the exclusion of all else, and the Samaritan who sees a need and is concerned enough to stop and go out of his way to meet it at significant personal cost. Jesus asks, which of these acts as a neighbor to the beaten up man? And clearly in this story, it's the four men who pick up the man in his bed and carry him to Jesus who are acting like neighbors, rather than the Pharisees who have ignored him on the way to the house and stand on the sidelines in judgment. So the first thing that the men do is show concern, and they also show cooperation. Notice that there were four men who carried the paralyzed man to Jesus. It was a joint effort. Any one of these men would not have been able to get the man there on his own. We don't know how far they carried the man to get to the house, but we can guess that it would have been even more challenging and laborious if any one of the four men had not been there to do his bit. So they cooperated. They also showed commitment. Once they had made their minds up to bring the man to Jesus, they didn't let anyone or anything stand in their way. The distance didn't put them off. They carried the man from where he was to where he could get help. The crowd didn't put them off. When they got to the house and saw the difficulty of getting inside to Jesus, they could have said, oh, this is impossible. We'll just take you home again. Or they might have said, we'll find you a nice spot in the shade and leave you there while we try to get into the house, and then we'll come back to you. But they decided instead that they would take him up onto the roof, and someone came up with the idea of digging a hole to get through to Jesus. They could have said, it's too risky. What if the owner of the house gets really angry and attacks us? Or they could have said, it's too costly. How will we pay for the damage that we'll do? Even if they said or thought these things, it's clear from the story that they had the commitment to see their desire to bring the man to Jesus through to its conclusion. The fourth C, the four men in the story had confidence. The story shows us that the four men had confidence in Jesus, that he could do something to help the paralyzed man. And the story describes this confidence as faith. This is what Jesus recognizes in the four men. And they show their faith in their actions. Listen to the words of Alan Smith on this. I want you to think about this for a moment. If you were going to visit a famous rabbi who had a large following, who possessed some degree of prominence, and if you wanted to treat the rabbi respectfully, as Jews were taught to do, and in addition you wanted him to heal your friend, you would certainly try to make a good impression by treating him well. The last thing you would do is tear up his house. It just really doesn't seem to make much sense that you would destroy this rabbi's house and then ask him for a favor, that you would expect him to treat you well after that. It is perhaps because it doesn't make much sense that Jesus was led to see their faith. Jesus repeatedly made the point that needy, broken, hurting, and desperate people were the very ones for whom he had come and on whom his ministry was focused, that he was God's representative to meet their needs. And these men were audacious enough to believe him. They were boldly saying, if you say so, we are going to trust that you care more about people than buildings. And we're going to tear a hole in your roof and put before you one of the very kinds of people you said you have come to help. They believed the things that he had said about himself, and they acted on their belief. They were willing to go to lengths that other people would regard as questionable. Faith is something that Jesus talked a lot about. In one of his teachings, he tells us that a little bit of faith in him goes a long way. If we have faith as small as a mustard seed, that is enough to move a mountain. Observe, it's not the amount of faith that we have that's important, but who we put the faith in. Imagine yourself standing at the edge of a frozen loch. If the ice is too thin, it doesn't matter how much faith you have in it, you're going to break through the surface when you put your weight on it. If the ice is thick enough to take your weight, it doesn't matter how small your faith is. If you can push yourself to take that first step, you'll be able to walk across it. And if we have confidence in Jesus, we think of Jesus as being solid ground to walk on. We see here that these men had enough faith in Jesus to take that first step and the next one, and then see it through until they had lowered the paralyzed man into Jesus' presence. These four men had faith that Jesus could make a difference to the life of the paralyzed man. Maybe they'd seen some of the things that Jesus had done in Mark chapter 1, his baptism, his preaching, his many healings, the way that so many people were flocking to him. Maybe one of the four men had been healed by Jesus themselves or had seen friends or family touched by him. Whatever the reason, they had confidence or faith in Jesus, and when Jesus sees their faith, he acts, first by forgiving the man's sins, and then by healing him of his condition. That's really exciting, that the faith the four men exercised on behalf of the paralyzed man made a difference. It's not saying that the faith of the paralyzed man himself was unimportant. He must have had faith too, or Jesus would not have been able to forgive him. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So the man needed to have faith in Jesus himself. But a key point of the story is that the faith of the four men made a difference. Without their concern, without their cooperation, without their commitment, without their confidence in Jesus, the man would never have been in Jesus' presence at all that day. I find this story very challenging for us as Christians, as we look at the example of the four men in the story. And it leads us to ask questions about the four C's as far as we're concerned. Are we concerned? We've driven past hundreds of people on our way to church this morning who are just as needy and helpless as the paralyzed man in the story. Have we given them a second thought? Or were we too busy thinking of what we needed to do here in church, caught up in the excitement like the crowd buzzing around the house, or passing by on the other side like the religious people in the Good Samaritan story? Are we concerned, or do we look down on them and judge them as too far gone or undeserving, too hardened to the gospel to expect anything of? Are we in fact more like the crowd around the house than the four men who went out of their way to fetch the paralyzed man? Listen to the challenging words of Scott Carmer on this. How do we, as the modern day church, keep people away from God? Have you ever thought about that? When we fail to live as witnesses of Jesus, we keep people away. When we fail to accept people, regardless of age, status, race, economic position, or theology, we are keeping them away from Jesus. When we fail to love as Jesus loved, we keep people away. When we fail to forgive, we keep people away. When we arrogantly assume that our way is the only way, we keep people away. When we don't accept others' differences, we keep people away. When we don't listen to the needs of others, we keep people away. When we refuse to make the church a comfortable environment so that others can feel safe and secure when they're here, we keep people away. When we boldly point out the sins of others, but don't notice our own sins that separate us from Christ, we keep people away. When we refuse to show compassion to others, we keep people away. When our weekday actions don't match our Sunday morning proclamations, we keep people away. When we are grumpy and out of sorts, we keep people away. When we mistake our small corner of truth for the real truth, we keep people away. Quite challenging words, I think, for us. Are we like the crowd, or are we like the four men who left the crowd at the house and went to fetch the person that needed Jesus' help? Are we cooperating? The story teaches us that if we're to bring people to Jesus, then we need to work together. The whole purpose of the church is to glorify God and to bring people to Jesus. If you think of the four men with the stretcher as a metaphor for the church, if any of us are not taking our corner of the stretcher and cooperating, then the mission of the church is compromised. At the very best, it's slowed down, or at the worst, it's stopped altogether. This idea of teamwork is explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are fellow workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. What Paul is describing here is the cooperation that's involved in building the church and bringing people to Jesus. It's a joint effort. A really good example of this kind of cooperation in the church was the prayer triplet schemes that we used to have about 20 years ago, where three Christians got together and prayed for three each of their friends, families, or acquaintances, cooperating to bring their friends to Jesus. The question we each need to ask this morning is, am I cooperating? Am I doing my bit? We have thought about how if any of the four men had not carried his corner of the stretcher, the man would not have been brought to Jesus. And the same is true for this church. If we stop putting in the effort and withdraw our labor, then we leave others in the church to bear a disproportionate burden, and we compromise the mission of the church. And thirdly, are we committed? We've seen how the four men did not let anything stand in their way. Several times they came up against obstacles or barriers that could have tempted them to give up. We don't know how long their journey to the house was, but there may have been times where they got tired and felt like giving up, thinking that they might never reach the house. And this is how it can be when we pray for and reach out to those in our family, workplace, or community that we know need to be brought to Jesus. It can involve many years of wrestling in prayer. Are we committed enough to keep going and not give up? Remember the words of Peter in his first letter. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We've seen that when they got to the house, they made a decision to get him to Jesus, no matter what the cost or risk that breaking through the roof of the house might bring. Bringing the man to Jesus was more important than buildings. It was more important than their reputation and keeping in with their neighbors and community. Are we committed to paying the cost of bringing people to Jesus in terms of time, resources, the risk of being misunderstood or making people angry? And finally, are we confident? Do we have the confidence or faith that Jesus really can change the people that we're praying for and trying to bring to him? Remember, it's not the amount of faith that we can muster, but where we place that faith. Remember what Jesus has done in your own life, the changes he has brought about, the journey that you have been on. Remember Jesus' power to transform the unlikeliest of candidates into his most committed disciples. 1 Timothy chapter 1, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. These are the words of St. Paul, one of the fiercest opponents of Jesus Christ and his church, transformed into its most significant early leader. There is no one beyond the reach of Jesus' grace. It's often those who seem furthest away who are, in fact, closest to the kingdom. Something we see again and again in the ministry of Jesus when he mixes with those who are seen as beyond redemption by the religious leaders and not to be associated with. So in conclusion, I've asked a lot of searching questions this morning about our concern, our cooperation, our commitment, our confidence. And I feel personally really challenged by those questions. They are searching questions that get to the heart of what we're doing as Jesus' disciples and his community in Lerwick. But it's not about making us feel guilty or inadequate. Jesus didn't commend the four men because out of guilt they had dragged the paralyzed man along to meet him. He commended them for their faith. And this morning, the challenge is not to feel guilty about what we've failed to do or are failing to do. The challenge is to rekindle our faith in Jesus as the one who can really make the difference. The four men had confidence and faith, and that faith made a difference to the paralyzed man. Our faith can make a difference to the people around us. With that faith comes a God-given excitement and energy that makes us concerned, that makes us cooperate, that makes us committed. And that makes us redouble our efforts to keep on praying for and reaching out to those around us who are helpless and need to be brought to Jesus. Listen to the words of the song that we are just about to sing. By faith the church was called to go in the power of the Spirit to the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news in every corner of the earth. By faith this mountain shall be moved and the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible for all who come upon his name. Amen.